Jeez, Mike, maybe you can give us a little warning next time, you know? Here I am daydreaming. Welcome back to Garden Talk, everyone. We have Lobster Bob, myself, and Joe and Emily Magazzi from Green Earth Ag and Turf. Boy, that rhymes. Who came up with that? Yeah, yeah. The poet in the family. That music means it's time for great moments in gardening and other stuff you didn't know about plants. Well, did you guys know it was National Tapioca Pudding Day?
I had no idea.
I didn't think so. Do you know where tapioca comes from?
No idea.
Do you like tapioca?
I do.
I know. So this is why it's part of this program. Tapioca, you don't have a tapioca tree in your backyard because it's a tropical plant. South America is a lot of Brazil. A lot of our tapioca comes from Brazil. It's part of the cassava root, or it's also called a yucca, but it's not the yucca that we make tequila out of. But the cassava is more of a potato carrot like root. That is mashed in Brazil, cut up in soups, or fried like we would potatoes. But you could also make a flour out of it, like we can a starch, like a cornstarch. And when that cornstarch is made into little bitty balls, pea size, and those little smaller ones, those little gooey ones that you put in the pudding, well, that, folks, is tapioca. Thank you to the cassava plant for that. Cassava is also used, the cassava flour is also used, and I did not know this, many times in gluten-free breads as a starch or a flour substitute. That's why it's so hard and crunchy and indigestible. Well, that's in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But for those who have gluten allergies, it's a lifesaver. I mean, what would be a ham and cheese without bread?
That's true.
Ever hear of bubble tea?
No.
Oh, boy, we don't get out much, do we? Neither did I.
I'm learning a lot here.
Bubble tea is like a smoothie, but it's got the large pearl tapiocas on the bottom of it. And it can be a milk tea, like a chai with bubbles on it, but it's a cold tea, or it can be a fruit tea. And this is supposedly the craze out there. If you've tried a bubble tea, give us a call, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, because those are tapiocas on the bottom. It looks pretty good, and you can easily make it at home. And that is great moments in gardening and other stuff you didn't know about plants. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC are our numbers. Let's go to Barry, who's in a pickle. Hey, Barry, welcome to Garden Talk.
Yeah, I'm pickling cukes. Maybe in my third year now, and my guess is maybe I just have to pick them like when they're small. Do they like go past their prime and just get like smooth and start turning yellow and tasteless when they get too big?
Yeah, when they get tasteless and yellow, they're past their prime. Are these pickling cukes that you planted? I mean, did the package say pickling cukes, or are these like market
ones? I bought little plants at a garden center, and the first year I figured, oh, these people screwed up. These were regular cucumbers, you know. Yeah. But this is like the third year now.
No, the cucumber for pickling needs to be very firm. Ideally, it's very straight. And it can be yellow on one side if it's laying on the ground. But normally, I trellis mine, and so they're just hanging there. Water consistently, and that is the secret to growing a great cucumber. Water, water, water every other day. Don't let the leaves flag. And you should be okay. I mean, a firm cucumber is everything in pickling.
Hmm. But I mean, like, these guys will get like a standard cucumber. They'll get huge. They're not, you know, dark green. They're not bumpy. And then they don't have any taste. I don't know. I don't know if it was just a situation I'm supposed to just like...
Well, I'm going to bring up...
Get it off the vine while it still looks like a pickling cucumber.
Oh, definitely. Okay. If these are... Pick it when you're ready to... When it's the right size for you, you know? The other question I have is, do you use a conventional, this is my own personal philosophy, that an organically grown vegetable is slower, healthier, and much tastier than a conventionally grown vegetable. Mm-hmm. Do you grow them conventionally, or do you grow them organically?
I'm growing them organic.
What the hell are you doing wrong?
Like I say, maybe I just got to pick them off the vine.
I think so.
They still look like a pickling cuke.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely pick them, pick them when you can. Yeah.
That's what it is. You don't, like, need them yet, and so they sit there. And,
Well, you don't need them yet, but would you pick them when they're ready, put them in the refrigerator, and then and when you get enough, that's when you do your pickling.
Yeah. Okay.
Barry, I'm proud of you.
If I pick them off and there's too many and they rot in the refrigerator, hey, I tried my best.
Oh, no. Well, you remember, you can eat a small cucumber. There's nothing tastier than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, man.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Oh, I lament with Barry, you know, when you go through all that work and 3 years in a row, tasteless cucumbers.
Yes. Mm, that's no good.
No. The funny thing with our job is people always bring us things when they're in bad shape, not good shape. So when people walk in with a cucumber, there's usually something wrong with it.
I know.
And they want to know. Yeah, it's one of the disadvantages of what we're doing here.
And what you do is you let me look at it for a couple of days, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if it was in good condition, we could at least make a salad out of it.
Exactly.
Like that, you know? Yeah. And then come up with it. Let's go to Fred in West Hartford. Hey, Fred, welcome to Garden Talk.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have direct question.
No.
I was given one bamboo plant.
It's like I was given two rabbits. That's what you're saying.
Just about.
Yeah. And now you got 100 bamboo plants.
Just about.
We know where this story's going.
Go ahead, Fred. We're crying with you.
Called Prosecutor.
Say what?
They suggested a product called Prosecutor.
Hmm. Haven't heard of Prosecutor. Yeah, no.
Okay.
How big is this grove of bamboo?
It's contained between a sidewalk and the foundation.
Oh. Well, you're half lucky anyway. It won't make it through the sidewalk for another couple of years anyway.
It's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Bamboo's a tough
one. Someone also suggested a coolant for automobiles, and before I put that in the ground.
Mm. Yeah. You don't want to do that. That can be harmful to animals.
What you've got is a running bamboo. Not all bamboos are created equal. There's a clumping bamboo, which is very, very easy to contain. And there is a running bamboo, which is what we all planted back in the 80s and 90s when bamboo was cool, or we thought. Fred, I have been able to eradicate the bamboo that I planted by constant diligence, okay? What I've done is to rob it of every possible means of nutrition, and that by cutting it down. When the little shoots come out, I go back out there 2 weeks later, cut them down.
Clear cut.
Exactly. And do that. In 3 years, I had one bamboo plant, and in 4 years, I had none.
You can cover it
if you'd like, sure, to with black plastic or something like that. That's called solarization. It works great, but the roots go down so deep that you have to watch that it doesn't spread past the sidewalk.
Yes, I understand.
You know, but you can get rid of it. Do not weep, Fred. You can get rid of it.
All right.
And
I will clear cut continuously on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
And stay away from the chemicals.
Oh, please do. We appreciate that. And
thank
so
you.
Do your neighbors. Also, a swear word now and then also helps. Mm. Cursing.
My wife has enlightened me as well.
Yeah, I'm sure she.
Yeah. I appreciate the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
And no problem. And it's a lot cheaper than buying a panda. 10-4. <We'll see. laughs> Thank you very much, Fred.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right.
And when he cuts his bamboo back,
yeah,
don't throw it in your compost pile.
No, don't throw it in a compost pile.
That's a don't even point. Keep it in your yard.
We don't want to even make a fishing rod out of it. We want to get it out of the way.
Get it and chop it up.
All right, Donna and Judy, garbage and stay on the line. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Blueberry pie, he walks on by.
Blueberry pie. I think one of those is in my future for tomorrow. Because I've got blueberry picking.
And if you wait a couple of weeks, you can get a couple next weekend. You get some peaches, and you can make a peach and blueberry pie.
No, there won't be any blueberries left unless I pick some more. I got to work this out. Welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 with Lobster Bob and Joe and Emily Magazzi. They are the king and queen of Green Earth Ag and Turf, and you probably will know them better as a growitnaturally.com because they are distributors of any organic product in the garden worth its salt, both to the industry as Green Earth Ag and Turf and to you and I and Bob as growitnaturally.com. Online. I was there this morning. It was real easy. Prices are great. Boy, there's a sale on. I hope you got enough of it because I'm advertising it right now, and I do need some. There's a quart of Neptune's Harvest seaweed fish emulsion, if you can call it a fish emulsion, hydrolyzed fish emulsion. And it's 1650, and you can't touch it in a garden center for under $20 or thereabout. Great stuff. It is great stuff. It is wonderful stuff. Okay, before we get to our callers, I do want to make sure that we talk about something that was very exciting that you brought up, and that's Halo. Can you talk a little bit about Halo and what it is and what it does?
Sure. Halo is a new product we carried this year. We tested it last year. It came recommended to us by several.
So you did test it yourself?
We tested it ourselves and some of our higher-end customers. Everything in our catalog we've pretty much tested, or as scientists we've taken a different approach with things. You won't find 10 different fertilizers. You're going to find Neptune's Harvest, which is the best that we've found, and we get rid of the other ones. It's a little bit of a different approach. But yes, Halo is something we've done a couple of years of testing. It came highly recommended from some of the top landscapers in the industry. And we used to call selective weed control in organics the holy grail of organics.
Sure.
It just didn't exist. And I never thought there would be something organically that could touch what the synthetic weed killers do. Mm-hmm. And that is to kill a weed and not the turf that you want to preserve. This product came out. We were skeptical, quite honestly. It's made with natural oils. And the way it works is it will burn the broad leaves, which are the weeds for the most part. And you spray it on, and it doesn't touch the grass. It takes about a week, but you will see these plants dying out. And it's working great.
And for those of you who've complained about my recommending clover in your – it will kill your clover.
It sure will, yes.
You know, so be aware. You can spot – it's great for spot treatments on – you know, you go – and this is what I do with – well, I've got a little gizmo that pulls out the dandelions, but it takes forever. So a little squirt might be good on the dandelions and plantain, but I can leave the clover alone.
Right. And the spot spraying's great. And we're big fans of clover as well. Some people don't like it, but clover is a wonderful thing. It helps build your soil up. And you know, people say it's clover and legumes are nitrogen-fixing plants, which is not true. There's not a nitrogen-fixing plant. It's the microbes, which is very interesting, the bacteria that they harvest that take the nitrogen out of the air, which is 78% nitrogen. Yeah. So clover is a wonderful
thing. I'm glad you said that, Joe, because it would have been a lonely show without you.
It probably will be after I do my little science spiel. I'm sure a lot of people will be tuning out after that.
No. All right. Let's go to... And that's called Halo.
Halo.
And it's available. It's available at growitnaturally.com. I might try that too. I'm very interested in that. Let's go to Judy in Bristol. Hey, Judy, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. I just recently planted two maple trees, a Japanese maple, and a couple of blue spruce trees in my backyard. And I've had conflicting information on how often to water them.
Okay, what'd you hear?
Well, when I bought them, the gal told me to water them every day. And when the man put them in, he said, water them every 2 weeks and stick your finger down about 3 or 4 inches, and if it's wet, it's okay. So then I called the nursery back to get clarification, and this person told me every 2 to 3 days. Well, there's a big difference in my mind between 2 weeks and 1 or 2 or 3 days.
Okay, so what you want is the truth and nothing but the truth, right?
That is correct.
I feel like throwing up what sounds like a politician's answer at this.
I have the same answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think they're all right.
That's exactly my answer.
you're going to use their advice in succession. So, Len, do you want to?
Oh, exactly. Emily's right. You know, in the beginning when the roots want, the one thing that they left out was to water deeply. Don't sit there for 2 minutes and go away and come back every day and do 2 minutes worth of watering. No, do 5 minutes worth of watering every other day, second, third day.
Well, if it's freshly planted, you certainly could do every day for
two weeks.
Anyway. Yep. Yep.
Until the drooping stops.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Wouldn't hurt it. And the fingers down to the second knuckle is a great indicator that you're at least getting the top 2 or 3 inches wet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then what
they did, they sort of built like a little moat around them.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, as long as it's a moat and not a mountain.
That's what I thought she was going to say.
No, it's a moat.
It's called a well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, a well, and okay, so I'm better off just going the 4 inches deep to know.
Fill the well up. Fill the well up with water.
Okay.
All the way around.
Yep.
They did a great job for you. I mean, and that's why you need to talk to a number of people. Now you've talked to the fourth person, and we had the easy job because we just combined it all.
Okay, thank you. On another note.
Oh, wait, Judy, we have a heartbreak coming up. Can I take you after the news? Or is it real quick?
It's real quick. Bubble tea, they give you a big straw. And you have to be very careful not to aspirate tapioca.
Oh.
Good to know. Good to know, Judy.
Okay, just want you to know that.
Okay, thank you. Don't aspirate the tapioca on bubble tea. Mike, did you know that? Boy, you learned so much.
Great advice.
Hey, we're going to stop for weather, sports, and a few other things. But we'll be back with more interesting stories right after this. And welcome back to Garden Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. That music means it's time for the Garden Talk Tips of the Week. Brought to you by Stonehenge Landscape and Garden Center, 1616 Willard Avenue, beautiful Newington, Connecticut. And if you've got an idea of what you'd like, that's the place to go because they do the design work. They can give you, they can say the plants if you want to put them in yourself, or they can put them in. And you can pick out the plants.
And they'll even give you good advice.
They'll give you good tips, though. Yeah. Why, it's just a great place to go. That's Stonehenge Landscape and Garden Center, 1616 Willard Avenue in beautiful downtown Newington. Bob, what you got for your tip of the week this week?
Don't overwater your garden.
I watered it once during this real dry stretch that we had.
Yeah,
hot dry
but I
stretch.
Mean, lately, don't.
I'm still
I haven't
squishy.
Watered mine in a couple of weeks, I don't think, with the hose or even going out there. But
the plants will tell you.
Plants will tell you. And now that the ground is so nice and damp, get your little hoe and go out there and just chop off, top off those weeds and let them roll over onto the ground, and the sun will bake them and they will die.
Yes,
and you won't have to pull them, and they won't be 3 feet tall when you get out there and you say, where'd my tomatoes and peppers go?
That's what hoes are made for. Joe, do you have a tip of the week for our listeners?
Sure. It's garlic season, and Len brought us wonderful garlic here. Smells great. I'm not a chef, so I'm not going to give cooking tips with garlic, but a lot of people don't
know. But you are Italian.
I am Italian.
So you are qualified. Oh,
yes.
You are qualified.
Yes. I know how to make a great broccoli rabe with baked garlic. But a lot of people don't know you can use garlic to repel mosquitoes as well,
exactly.
Not just vampires. And there are products out there that use garlic and natural oils. This year, we've called this season Tickageddon because of the warm winter and the wet spring. And natural oils and garlic are great for repelling the ticks and the mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. And I think in Sicily, tell me if I'm wrong here, but they not only use garlic to ward off vampires and mosquitoes, but also attract a mate.
They do.
Yeah.
And Italian grandmas, as we talked about before. And Italian grandsons, I will say.
That's true. Emily, what you got?
Well, I was going to follow up on that and say my great-grandmother was said to eat 6 cloves of garlic every day, and she had her final marriage when she was 80-something, and she sewed her own wedding dress.
God
bless. So I think she's just a garlic superhero.
Well, I think so. And so was her husband, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Yes, I fully intend to do a lot of pickling of the garlic cloves. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, man. I mean, they're good anyway, but it's tough to eat them raw. You know?
I've had those at work.
Oh, yes.
When you brought them in.
And let's continue with the garlic tip. My garlic, I raise garlic under glass. It's just a small bed it's not a greenhouse, just a small bed during the wintertime. So I'm about, a week or two ahead of most people, except for those people in the Connecticut Valley and along the shoreline. And normally I would not have picked my garlic. My garlic was not telling me the right signs for picking. It was only just turning brown on the top. However, I always sneak a few, you know, and when I pulled one up, it was starting to expand. So I decided.
Over-anxious, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was because of the rain. The bulbs are still growing. But they grow fast, just like a tomato splits. Well, I think this is what happens here. So I had a few that were open, but most of them are absolutely perfect, as everybody has their garlic ukuleles here. So I picked mine early, and you may want to check. All I'm suggesting is that you may want to check a few bulbs to see if that's the case too. 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, Garden Talk with Len and Lobster Bob and Joe and Emily Magazzi from the Green Earth Ag and Turf. They are suppliers of organic products for your garden and for landscape, both professionally and for you through their website, growitnaturally.com. And you really want to hop on that. It's a great little website. Let's go to who's next, Bob? Is it Kat?
Number
Donna. Hey, Donna, welcome to Garden Talk.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
When I was on hold last week, your last caller of the day, I think her name was Fran, was talking to you about my problem, which is a Korean dogwood with curled leaves.
Yeah.
And one of my neighbors came up with a solution.
Oh, was that?
There's no apparent disease, no powdery mildew, nothing.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly beautiful and healthy last year. But I am overrun with chipmunks.
Oh.
And I know that they are nesting in the ground cover that I have underneath that tree.
Uh-huh.
And I see them going in and out all the time. So I imagine the nests are pretty substantial. Do you think, as my neighbor does, that the possible solution has to do, or the reason has to do with those chipmunks burrowing in among the roots and bringing air into them.
Yeah.
What do you think, Joe? Yeah, you're there's smoke coming out of your ears, man.
Chipmunks. We're getting a lot of calls this year about chipmunks and rodents in general. I don't know if it was the warm winter. What's going on? Len was talking about a couple of now deceased chipmunks earlier in the show. But the chipmunks, usually I see the damage above. We've got a beautiful peach tree off our deck, and
I'm having trouble hearing Joe.
Oh, that's okay. He's a soft-spoken guy.
Yes. Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Okay, get real close to that microphone.
Okay, yeah. I wonder if it's the...
It's like you were talking to Emily while she was on the other side of the house.
Yes.
Okay.
The chipmunks have been an issue this year, but I usually see the problems above ground, like on our peach tree. They love our peaches right when they're ripe. But I haven't heard of it below ground. That certainly could be a problem. Usually the holes in the compaction are actually good for tree roots, believe it or not. So you get aeration down there. So it may be helpful, if anything. But I don't know that they would actually chew on the roots and do physical damage.
Well, no, I wasn't suggesting that they would.
No. Donna, I want you to say this. Repeat after me.
Yes.
It's all I can stands. I can't stands no more.
That's the truth.
And
does anybody on the panel today know how to get rid of those little critters?
I got rid of 6 of them. You want to know how I did it?
Oh.
No. Come on.
That was the perfect response.
Jeez Louise. Okay, Donna. I want you to go to your local hardware store and buy I think it's called a black cat rat trap. Oh. Now, some smart company started to make chipmunk traps this year, but they're too small because some of these guys are whoppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So get a black cat. Those are those plastic black jaws of death. And set them and put some peanuts in, some cocktail peanuts,
Peanuts, right. Peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter. But put it in the back. Put it in the back. There's a little well. You can put a little bit in there, but put it in the back. And then I had to actually tie mine down because the little guys, one of them disappeared. I don't know whether it's... a deer took it away or whatever. But, boy, in 4 days, I had 6 chipmunks, and I have not had a lick of damage in my backyard anyway. The ones in the front haven't bothered me, so I'm leaving them alone right now. But I'm watching.
Okay. As soon as I have.
Unfortunately, with rodents,
I'm on my way to the hardware.
Yeah, well, I've tried talking to them, Joe.
I know. Yeah. You tried talking to them.
Now, what are you going to say when you go into the store?
I'm going to tell them you sent me.
Well, you can do that, but say, before you do that, say, that's all I can stands. I can't stands no more.
Well, I told them that a year ago, but they couldn't help me. So.
Well, I'm glad you called us.
I'll try again.
I'm glad you called us, Donna.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah, but we have to take a short break. Can you hang on?
I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to put you on hold, Donna, and we'll be back right after this. Grapes are blue. Ah, but I have to give you a lot of credit, Mike, for trying. And I'm not quite sure. Peaches are next week, according to Scott's Orchard, down in Glastonbury. All right. Let's go back to Donna, who had another very important question. And fortunately for Donna, it's a buy one, get one free question day. Donna, are you there?
Well, I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Where do you get the bill for the first one?
Virginia creeper. How do I get rid of it?
You don't.
Don't tell me that.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I try it. My solution for everything, including poison ivy, is to yank it up. But it breaks off, so it doesn't really work very well.
Got to get every bit of the root.
Yeah, good.
Parthenocystis quinquefolia, also known as Virginia creeper, is a native plant. It was here before you. It was here when the Native Americans were here. And now you want to move in on its territory.
It has other ideas? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's got some great ideas. But take it from me. I use it now. I get rid of everything else and use that as the ground cover. It is that aggressive, and it climbs up the trees, too. I'll take it off trees because it'll eventually kill the tree, I think, or at least make it unsightly. But that's easy enough. You just cut the stem at the tree base. But on the ground, well, there's no way of getting rid of that in my book unless someone else has any of our listeners, give us a call next week. Tell us how to get rid of Virginia creeper.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Donna.
I was
hoping for some magic.
Donna, I had
miracle
one.
Miracle cure?
Yes.
Donna, I had one additional thing about your first question. We do have a animal repellent, which is effective against herbivores. And we know one of our neighbors had a pretty heavy infestation of chipmunks. And they used it and had really good success.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had some of that, probably.
Good.
And I used it on, or I tried to use it on a woodchuck. And it didn't go well.
No.
So I...
For the woodchuck or for you?
I was reluctant to try it on the chipmunks.
Yeah.
Well, don't... You know, I wouldn't give that to your neighbor so much because if it repels the herbivores, they're coming over to your yard.
Well, exactly. And,
the next neighborhood.
But. Oh, okay. That's good.
Not right next door. But, okay, that was just a thought if that hadn't been something that
appreciate
worked.
Appreciate that. I could give that a try.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye, Donna. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. Okay. Michelle from Goshen. We cannot find that Halo will, and I know why you want to get rid of goutweed. That's another one like Virginia creeper, only it's not a native that you want to get rid of. But I didn't want you to hold too long there without an answer, and that is that Halo, as far as we can see, is not listed for it. You might want to give it a go. I mean, it's only all of its ingredients are in your kitchen cabinet, just not mixed up the same way that you would. So I don't think there's a problem with you trying and experimenting and letting us know if Agapodium and Halo don't mix. Okay. Let's go to Kat in New Britain. Hey, Kat. Welcome to Garden Talk.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a couple quick things. A patio tomato plant that is not doing well at all. It suddenly has developed black leaves. Not totally black, but black, principally black.
On the bottom or on the top?
On the top.
On the top?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some little black spots underneath, too, but mostly on top.
That's black spots, huh?
Yep.
Okay, have you been watering this?
It's been getting plenty of water.
And you're watering the foliage?
No.
Are the leaves sticky?
No.
Okay.
100 questions here.
And
bad karma. That's my answer.
Give a bud, and the buds will just die.
Oh, the buds will die. I think you're getting too much water right offhand.
Yeah. It's outdoors, so we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah, we'll bring it indoors for while it's raining. I mean, you stay indoors, don't you?
Okay.
Or stand over it with an umbrella. I mean, are there holes in the bottom of this container?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have a tray underneath that container?
Yes, it's not full.
Okay, take the tray out for a while and let that water drain out. Because what you've got is you've probably got a little pond of water in the bottom of that pot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Take the tray out, dump it out, because you've got enough of rain that you're not trying to save the water.
But
now
stick.
Is that why the buds are falling off too?
No. Well, that's one of the symptoms of overwatering. Yes.
Okay. Now, I wondered if it needed any kind of, food or anything I should be spraying on the leaves.
It's on the leaves, not the tomatoes themselves.
I think it lost you.
Right.
She doesn't have tomatoes yet.
Yes, because there's something called blossom end rot that affects the fruit. Yeah, Emily coined a term called killing them with love.
I can't hear the gentleman.
Emily coined the term killing them with love.
You're killing them with love.
Right. Which is due to overwatering. We see that a lot on orchids. People say they can't grow orchids. We say just leave them alone and don't water them too much. So sometimes that can be a big issue.
Yeah.
I also have had a proliferation of weeds I've never even seen before in my yard this year. Which I need to send some of my soil to the county extension service.
Yeah, go ahead. Some weeds are edible.
If they are, I don't know which ones they are.
Me neither, yeah.
Dandelions make a good salad.
They do, mm-hmm. But she's not seen this. and, you know, New Britain, who knows?
That's true.
Yeah, with the water this year, it's been a good growth year for everything. And weeds, there's a great book called Read Your Weeds, and it could show weeds are often an indication of something wrong with your soil. Dandelions tend to grow with low pH, compacted soil. So, as we said before, soil test is always a great place to start.
They're an indicator plant. Mm-hmm. They are.
I don't have any dandelions. This is something.
I know. The dandelion population has been way down this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
It's a mystery. I'm gonna have to...
As Sister Mary Margaret once said, it's a mystery, Len. It's a mystery.
Sorry.
why we don't have a lot of dandelions this year. Hey, we have to go, Kat. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Well, there you've done it. You've wasted another 2 hours listening to Garden Talk, and we sure are glad you did. Joe and Emily from Green Earth Ag and Turf, thank you so much for coming. It's been great fun.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Great.
And if you'd like to check them out, go to what is it, Green Earth?
GreenEarthAgAndTurf.com
or on the commercial end, and you'll see this on their website. GrowItNaturally.com, that's where you can pick up some boggins. All right, we'll be back next week, and we have another special guest. My gosh, we're full of guests.
Oh, good.
In July. Well, I'll let you know. In the meantime, we'll see you in the garden, everyone.